Welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast. My name is Kyle Nelson, and I do have my good co-host here, Mr. Eli Libby.
Thank you. I think you're going to kind of skim over me for a second. Yeah, it's the Kyle Nelson show, eh?
Welcome to the podcast. Today we have an awesome guest, and we're going to talk about some pretty cool stuff about bringing humanity into the workplace.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a great combo. So get ready for that. But before, we are going to run that intro. What's going on? Welcome to the Biz Pros Podcast. My name's Kyle Nelson. I've got my great co-host and good friend here, Mr. Eli Libby.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. It's
beautiful
the episode,
day
man.
Today, man.
Absolutely.
Really excited for this episode. We've got a great guest.
Yep. Absolutely.
Number two, clear, simple images.
Amazon sellers.
The first thing that I'm following about in this article is
really looking for that initial print.
You need to be thinking about product photography and video production. Welcome to the show, Brian McCormick. He is a diversity and inclusion consultant, speaker, author, and facilitator with over 20 years of experience in D&I, HR, company culture, change management, internal communications, and employee experience. He is the founder and CEO of Hummingbird Humanity, a consulting firm that cultivates and champions inclusive workplace cultures and human-centered leadership. Brian, welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Excited to have you here. It sounds like culture is a big thing you talk about. It's a huge thing for us. We're really into culture. We've talked about it all the time on the show. So I think it's going to be a really good talk.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. I'm going to do my best.
That's all we can do. So,
is there a quiz or anything, though? Because I didn't prepare for a quiz.
Brian, we typically throw some icebreakers around, but I'm not getting off the hook here. Well, cool. Well, we're going to jump right in. Before we get to that topic, though, Brian, tell the audience a little bit more about you and a little bit more of your background.
Sure. So at Hummingbird, we have a tradition that we share both what we do as well as who we are. So I'll do a little bit of both.
Please.
From a professional sort of background experience, what I do, my first career was in movie theater operations. I was in that industry when megaplexes came on the scene. So I always like to mention it because I'm still a big movie guy. I love going to the movies, but I realized I wanted to have a career that didn't keep me up until dawn on a regular basis. Went back to school to get my master's in HR and change management, and have spent the last almost 25 years in various human resources roles at some really phenomenal companies, including L'Oreal and Christie's Auction House. When I was at the Walt Disney Company was when I started to move into the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. That led to my last in-house job as the global head of inclusion at Tapestry, which is the home of Coach, Kate Spade, and Stuart Weitzman. I left that world about 2.5 years ago to become a consultant, and that's what I do today. On the personal side, I think this, the other part of the Disney story, when that door opened for me to move into diversity, equity, and inclusion, I think that at that time, my boss, she came to me one day and said, "Brian, you're a great HR person. I think you're really a diversity person, though." I think what she was sort of tuning into was that at that point in my life as a professional, I was trying to figure out how to integrate who I was as a human and who I was as a professional into the work that I do. On the personal side, I'm a gay man. I'm a person with a disability. I have three invisible disability identities. The one I tend to talk about the most is that I've battled mental illness for most of my adult life, battling anxiety and depression. I was just trying to merge those two realities. She helped me unlock and find my passion, which, as you mentioned, is culture. And how do we create workplaces that work for humans, where humans thrive? And DEI is part of that. I think it's also bigger than just DEI. So that's what I get to do today. And I'm grateful that I get to do this work.
Whoa.
Very cool. Thanks.
Phenomenal.
For
yeah. Thank you for sharing
amazing
all that.
Background.
Amazing background. It sounds like there's just so many cool companies you got to work with. Great experiences that have probably crafted what you talk about in your consulting firm.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. You know, the, I don't profess to be some wise human. However, I did at some point early on in my career realize that I would likely be a consultant someday. I didn't know, by the way, what that meant. I'm not sure I still completely understand. All medium and large companies, I have worked in different ownership structures of companies, private equity and privately owned and publicly owned. Cool. Different roles. So I've really tried to absorb as much knowledge as I can. You know, and so one of the things that I like to tell the clients we get to work with that, you know, we don't show up with like, here is your answer. This is the right way to do this. We try to figure out what's right for your company and for your people. So yes, I borrow from all those experiences, but one of the biggest things that those experiences taught me is that each company and the culture of each company and the people at each company are different. And so they deserve their own roadmap for what's culture like at this place.
That is really cool. It's a great way to look at it.
Absolutely. Super, super cool. Every business and every group of people is so different in their own ways. And so I'm sure it's pretty cool to be able to kind of go in there and dissect and see how you can help improve upon and create, you know, cultural plans around that. It's got to be really fulfilling.
Yeah, it's really rewarding. And one of the things that that we believe. So we believe in starting with the voices of your employees first when we start working with a company. And, you know, what that allows us to do is to start from like, you know, when we're talking to people, like, what do you love about working here? What's not working about working here? Why are you invested in this conversation? I think, you know, all of us will have understand, at least the three of us, hopefully many of the listeners as well, is, you know, when people at your company stop talking, whether they're challenging you or praising you or, you know, anything in between, if they're no longer engaged in the conversation, you've lost them. So, you know, when you're having those conversations to understand, how do we create or evolve this culture to be as great as it can be for humans to thrive? As long as they're engaging in the conversation, that's a great place to start. And people want to contribute to the places they choose to work.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more. What was the culture like? I think you mentioned a company. I think their name is Walt Disney. What was the culture like there?
You know, Disney is... So I worked in Disney corporate. And Disney corporate is... I don't know if all my colleagues there would agree, but I would describe Disney corporate as really a financial institution that's really focused on optimizing the financial success of the various businesses of the Walt Disney Company.
Gotcha.
And so with that part of the company, I personally struggled to connect with because I really joined Disney because I wanted to be with the magic. And I wonder if I had been like with Parks, which is all about service and creating the magic, for example, if that would have been a different experience from just sort of like where you focus your energy. The thing that I really got the most of about Disney, so if I sort of focus on what did I take from that experience? The best of the best work at the Walt Disney Company. So I worked with some of the best HR professionals and some of the best diversity, equity, and inclusion professionals and you know, various layers of subject matter expertise. So I didn't feel like I completely fit in that organization, I took so much from the experience, and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity. You know, of course, still in touch with some of my colleagues from there.
Very cool.
Right on. Wow, that's cool.
So let's dive into the topic.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about bringing humanity to the workplace and why people first thinking is a better way to do business. So maybe to kind of kick it off. Maybe just from a high level, what do you mean by bringing humanity into the workplace? What does that mean?
Such a good question. And if Nick, who's the COO of Hummingbird, was with me, he's like, Brian, how many sentences is it going to take you this time? He's really challenging me to shorten my script here. So, you know, the way that I think about human-centered workplace cultures or humanity in the workplace is really through the lens of a build on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So diversity, equity, and inclusion is an important commitment, I believe, for organizations to think about how do they create a diverse, equitable, and inclusive workplace culture. as I've spent time both as an HR professional, as which who has been focused on employee experience and organizational culture and an organizational change. So really, I suggest that my sort of core strength is driving organizational change through whatever lens I'm looking through. So as you know, I had that experience, and then now I have this diversity, equity, and inclusion experience. And what I have come to believe is that if we sort of look at them only through those lenses, then we're not really thinking holistically about the experiences of humans in a workplace. So the idea of human-centered workplaces is, let's think about how do we create a workplace where humans thrive, which includes diversity, equity, inclusion. It includes well-being. So well-being could be physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. What are the ways that companies foster and support those parts of humans that work at their companies? Social impact, philanthropy, volunteerism. We also talk about communications and how communications today need to be transparent. And transparent doesn't mean you tell everything, because that doesn't serve a purpose either. It's how do you make sure that your company, your employees feel like they're involved in the decisions and what's happening in the company? How are you sharing those stories with them? So it's really taking people on a journey. So it's this, you know, sometimes I describe it as how do you tap into the heart and soul of the people that work for your company and really allow them to feel connected to the purpose. And purpose is not only what they do in their jobs and how their jobs contribute to the success of the company, but how they believe in the purpose the company serves.
Wow. That's cool. That's very, very cool.
Yeah. I think obviously, you know, as time goes by, I think a lot of companies, like when they're in their ways and they've kind of figured out how they work best, and the larger companies grow, it's more of a challenge to try to bring everybody together to kind of find the input, find kind of a common ground to move forward. But I think when there's, you know, outside help, like with you and your firm, to kind of bring those experiences in and kind of show how to bring it all together, is probably pretty unique and probably pretty cool and special. When you go in and help these companies, because I feel like it's a challenge that not a lot of professionals are like professionals at, right? Mm-hmm. They're really like stuck in the numbers or the marketing and sales or the production, I mean, whatever it is, but it's these small things that actually turn into large impact in a company. So it's gotta be pretty cool to experience that. What are some kind of, I don't know, cooler experiences coming into some companies that you've kind of helped or programs maybe you put together?
Sure.
Or systems you put together?
Yeah. Well, first, I you know, you mentioned, each person who works at a company has a job, and that set of jobs then drives the focus of their time and energy. So we talk about one of the things that sort of sparked for me, and when you were talking about finance professionals who are working with those spreadsheets, the Excel spreadsheets, we're all familiar with those spreadsheets with all those numbers on them. And those numbers are what go on PowerPoint decks or go on reports that are given to senior leaders. And what we really challenge senior leaders to remember is that every number in every box represents a person or a collection of humans. So when you're making a decision on that number, which we have to make responsible decisions as business leaders, and so I'm not saying throw out the numbers, because the numbers are important, but remember that there are humans behind every number and behind every decision. So that's something that I think is also part of this. There's the decision making that goes with human-centered cultures. You know, the story that comes to mind for me that is has been really rewarding is the second official client for Hummingbird is a company called CREA, C-R-E-A. CREA is a purpose-driven for-profit organization. They work in the financial services industry, and they build affordable housing communities. So essentially they connect investors with developers, and they manage the transactions between those two entities. And so we started on the journey that we like to take if we have the if we're starting the culture DEI journey with the company is we do an assessment that helps us understand where they are today, where they want to go. Then we build a plan, and then we help them implement that plan. And we've been on that journey with CREA. And you know, we've helped them launch their Inclusion Advisory Council, which has really made a big impact on how they're guiding the company and the journey for not only their DEI commitments but their culture commitments. And earlier this year, the CEO invited me to go to their investors conference. Now, I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not a financial guy. I'm an HR guy. I'm a culture guy. And I'm like, I'm not going to fit in this conference, but I'm going to show up because I was invited. And I do believe being a good HR person is, I need to learn the business and understand the business, or being a good consultant, whatever lens you want to look at it, you know, understand the business is important. I walked in the doors of that conference. I immediately felt like I was part of that community. I was welcomed. I was genuinely, warmly sort of included in what was happening. I was referenced from the stage. So that, you know, I'm centering this part about me. So I felt like I was included, which was pretty cool. But what was really exciting for me was over the course of the 2 days of the conference, it was the most human-centered set of messages at a financial services conference that I could possibly imagine. And I asked the leaders afterwards, has it always been this way? Was it always so focused on humans and purpose and impact? And they said, no, it's because of what you and Hummingbird did. We helped them reimagine how they delivered that experience for their investors. And their investors were resonating with it to say, like, yes, of course, we're all here because we have jobs to do to maximize revenue generation or build profit, or, you know, those are parts of the puzzle, but they're all in that room and in this industry because they want to make an impact on the lives of humans. And they're like, we have to be part of this. What else can we do to be part of this? And that was really cool.
That is cool.
What a cool impact.
Especially because you got to experience it firsthand. And then, but afterwards you asked them, you know, how they did that. And it was from the impact you guys did. That's sweet. That must've been a cool feeling.
Yeah, it was. Well, and just the journey to get there it's not easy. So, you know, it's easy for me to talk about this in a few sentences to say, this was really cool. You know, this is almost a 2-year journey to get to that moment. And, you know, one of the commitments that the CEO has made is we have a program that we offer called a DEI Learning Circle. It's a 10-week intensive experience where for a small group of up to 12 participants, each week before we get together for 90 minutes, they read, watch, or listen to a set of content that we curate. And then we come together for that 90 minutes and facilitate a conversation. And the earlier conversations are a bit lighter in some ways. And we talk about just the ideas of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we talk about how to lean into conversations in today's workplace, which is different than the way that we used to have conversations in the workplace. We talk about, you know, how do we have human conversations in the workplace today? What does that look like? We move into conversations around white supremacy in the workplace and how white supremacy influences workplace culture and how do we start to tackle that, which are more complex conversations. And, the CEO has committed to all of his leadership team going through that program. And so having those ongoing, and the goal isn't for everyone in that 10 weeks to agree with everything we talk about. That's the agreeing is not the outcome we're looking for. Understanding, awareness, and the ability to have these difficult conversations is what we're aiming for. And so the leadership team has been going through these sessions, and that's what, you know, they can be uncomfortable and they can be intense and they can raise lots of emotions. Right. But it's led to those leaders being able to say, how do we do business differently? So it does take a lot of intention, effort, and commitment, and some self-reflection.
Easy
to do.
Wow, that is really cool.
So we have a lot of smaller startup founders on our listen to the podcast. What are some things where, you know, they don't have a budget to hire a firm like yours to kind of help them out? They're just getting started. What are some two-part questions? What are some things that they can do at the foundation? And secondly, what are some resources that they can go to kind of learn and explore and try to understand better?
Super good question.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. You know, so a few things that we challenge just any professional to do one of the best ways to embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion in your workplace is to explore content that is from voices that have different lived experiences than your own. So if, you know, I'm a gay white guy, so let's listen to a podcast that is is hosted by a woman of color, or you know, I'm an able-bodied person, so let me follow and follow and read articles from someone who has a physical disability. So how do I hear about their experiences through their lens and their voice? That's one of the best things that we can do as humans, is just try to understand each other.
Sure, I agree.
You know, as far as some resources, though, you know, one of the things that we're committed to at Hummingbird is, yes, of course, it's a business and I have to pay my bills, and, you know, I have a team of people that I have to pay. So, you know, certainly we are in this to some degree for the revenue generation, but we also believe that there's a higher purpose to our work. So on the Hummingbird website, we have a blog, there's the way that our blog works is I share a blog at the first week of each month, and then one of my team members at Hummingbird shares a response blog on the third week of each month. Sometimes their response is like, we don't agree with Brian, and we're going to share our perspective, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to explore concepts. And last month's blogs were, how do you start your DEI journey? So if you're wanting to start, there's two blogs from myself and my head of consulting. So check those out. And we also provide a lot of resources on the website as well. So resource guides and free tools. And so check those out and please take advantage of them.
Awesome.
So cool.
So I think there's just one thing, part of the topic that we had to Princey, why people first thinking is a better way to do business. Mm. Maybe in a nutshell, we have about 5-10 minutes left. So why is people first thinking a better way to do business?
So there are two reasons that in sort of big picture concepts that companies lean into human-centered workplace cultures or diversity, equity, and inclusion. One is because they just believe it's good for humanity and just the right thing to do. So I'm all for, like, if you're in that camp, great, let's do that. The other is because it's good for business. And so if you're there, that's great too. I don't really care how you get here. Let's just make workplaces better for humans. What you know, the belief system behind that that question or that statement that we'll make is why people first decision making is a better way to do business is if we are focused as business leaders on the bottom line, the outcome of the revenue, and we have to pay attention to that. I'm not saying let's throw that out the window. Then we're focused on an outcome rather than the input. Mm. Input is the people that work at your organization. And I guarantee you, without those humans, you don't have revenue and you don't have profit. Wow. So focus on how you create a workplace where they can thrive. And if they're thriving, they're going to contribute to the success of your organization and you'll meet your financial goals.
Love it. Boom. So true.
That is so true.
In the day, everyone just wants to be included and heard.
Yep.
I think if you can kind of start with that and make, you know, be human first, I think that's or people first thinking is a great way to get started.
I agree.
Well, awesome. Well,
I was going to wrap it up.
Yeah. So we always ask our guests, if there's one thing that you hope that our listeners take away from our conversation, what would that be?
One thing that, you know, I think it's that business doesn't have to be done the way it's always been done. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the examples that I like to share is when I started my first corporate job, nobody told me to check your emotions at the door. But I knew that I was supposed to, as I describe it, take off my coat of my emotions and hang it up on a hook and go be that corporate robot that was expected to do that job, whatever that job was. And I had a great first job, so I don't want to discount the experience I had there. But the reality is we bring our humanity with us when we walk into our jobs. And by embracing that versus trying to shut that out, we can do business better. So let's just acknowledge that we are humans all doing our best and find ways to celebrate each other and give each other the opportunity to thrive.
I love that.
I do too.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
It's true. So many times it's like, oh, keep the personal stuff out, come to work, be efficient. But it's hard to be efficient and actually do your job when you're dealing with other stuff. So if we could just come together and say, hey, you know, how can we help? What's the deal? Yep. It's so true.
Very true.
So if people want to follow you, get in touch with Hummingbird, learn more, get more resources, where would they go?
Sure. The two best places to check to connect with me and Hummingbird are, for me, it's LinkedIn. So you can find me at Brian McCormick on LinkedIn. I share a lot of information on my LinkedIn channel around Representation Matters, which is one of our areas of focus at Hummingbird. And then, of course, the Hummingbird Humanity website. We have a weekly newsletter that we share content and resources, some of those resources I shared earlier. So you can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And of course, Hummingbird's on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram as well.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Brian, thank you so much for giving such great value. Yes. And I think our audience will definitely take away some.
That's a very good couple nuggets.
Yeah, some good points and hopefully some action items. Yeah. I mean, that's the most, you know, that's what we really try to provide here, you know, creating action items for everybody to move forward. So thank you so much for joining us here on the Biz Bros podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to Biz Bros Podcast. Anywhere that you listen to podcasts, just type in Biz Bros, Google it, we'll pop up, hit the subscribe button. And if you'd like to hear more awesome episodes with great guests just like Brian, make sure to tune in. We'll see you on the next Biz Bros Podcast.